As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri. It's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, November the 13th. Oh, yeah. 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and we'll skip solutions today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely going to be in the right place at the right time. To become vocal local, we're going to rip the top off of philosophical radicalism today. But this is the home where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And as I've said so many times, hope makes a dandy breakfast, but it's a lousy supper. It's going to take more than hope to get our bacon out of this fire. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access, or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014. Hopefully, we've got all of the gremlins out of the phone box this morning, and we'll be able to take your calls live on air. But from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free as well at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. It's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Always appreciate receiving your letters and correspondence in the mail. And a big shout-out again this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas, our micro-broadcasters. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Of course, our number call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Those numbers are always posted on oraclebroadcasting.com on the homepage. Back down into this again. Let's go look a little further. Gold remains above the $1,100 mark, the longest running bull market or bull rally, and gold continues. The economic interpretation of history, bigger than marks, older than dirt. We're going to scratch around in the dirt today. You're not going to want to miss a moment of today's two-hour broadcast. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Again, let's go to the market reports for this morning, Friday, November the 13th, 2009, Friday the 13th. Active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading up $5.80 at $1,108.10 an ounce. Silver up 8 cents as well, $17.26 an ounce, those beautiful troy ounces of silver. Platinum up $6 at $13.57, and palladium up 3 at $350 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,003.70 for a low, $1,111.40. There's some 11s for you. At $1,108.10, your gold is up $372.90 an ounce for a 50.74% return on your investment in the noble metal. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys set the price at $1,170.50, and as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we were a buck above that. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off yesterday closed at 94 at 10,198. The NASDAQ was off 18 at 2142, the S&P down 11 at 1,087. Crude oil this morning off 37 cents, trades at 76.57. And that U.S. dollar index in decline, losing 26 basis points, trading at 75.42. We'll be right back on the other side of this first break with much, much more.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. A Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Friday the 13th of November 2009 live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the webpage of this network and the only webpage that I can really point to these days. My website is down. I haven't gotten the enthusiasm to build a new one yet. But my name is William Roberts. We've always got news, lots of that, hard facts, certainly that. And sometimes we even advance workable solutions. Of course, you know my solution to all of this stuff is the abolition of the established two-party political system. Until we get that divisive assemblage out of the House of America, we will not have any recovery. There will be no restoration. That's just the way it goes, like it or not. Let's go back in and close out our market reports again for Friday, November the 13th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we found gold trading up $5.80 an ounce at $1,108.10. Silver was up $8 or $0.08 at $8. Boy, gosh, wouldn't that be nice? Was up $0.08 at $17.26, and platinum was up $6 at $13.57. So $1,108.10 for the gold. For the Arum, the Argent tips the scales at $17.26 U.S. this morning. Dropping down a little further, again, we find this USDX, the ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange traded basket of currencies, weighted basket of currencies. The USDX trading off 26 basis points. at 75.42. And the Forex, the foreign exchange rates, of course, we've talked about that much in the past. The Canadian dollar, our trading partner here in the North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, or whatever you want to call it, what a mess, is up 54 basis points, trades at 95 cents U.S. You're going to buy Mexican pesos today. You can pick them up at 8 cents a pop. Again, it's up 0.45% or 45 basis points, but it still trades out 13.1455 pesos per buck. The euro up 13 basis points below that $1.50 mark again, trades at $1.49 U.S. The British pound continues to move upward, up 62 basis points at $1.67 U.S. And that Swiss franc, it hit parity earlier in the week, but it's back. It's a little bit further down. But it moves up 30 basis points again this morning, solidly at 99 cents U.S. Bonded indebtedness, the bond slaves, well, the bonds are being sold. The two-year yield, the yield on the two-year bond, of course, that they're the creditors then. We're the debtors. They're the creditors. Anybody that buys our bonded debt, they're the creditors. We're the debtors. We don't even hold a preferred stock in this Ponzi scheme, but the two-year bond is at 0.85%. Don't imagine everybody jumped in line for that. Most likely Benjamin Bernanke had to buy back his own debt. But the 10-year is at 3.46, the 30-year at 4.40%. In the mortgage market, continuing this upward move in the price of residential mortgages, of course, that means it's credit is being withdrawn from the market, moving up again month on month. It was 4.63 at this time last month. Today it's 4.64. In the 30-year mortgages, it was 4.99% a month ago, now at 5.06%. So your monthly nut, if you will, your monthly expenses getting into a house, buying a mortgage, is going to become increasingly expensive. Look to that 15-year mortgage. I think it's always your best bet. We've got a lot of information on the plate for you today. So often we talk about how the educational process that I'm using here on air, much the same as I use in my own research, we come across terms. We want to try and figure out the meanings and senses of words. We go to the dictionaries first, always. And I like to find dictionaries that are kind of published in different years. I like to have at hand, I've built up almost by the decade, a stack of Webster's collegiate dictionaries. This is the stuff they use in schools. I also start with the Webster's 1875, what is that? Old Noah Webster's, the big one over there. Don't remember the date right off the top of my head. Anyway, it's early. And so we can start with Webster's dictionary, and then I've built a collection of Webster's. Of course, I've got many others as well. So first of all, we define our terms. It's important because the meanings and senses of words have changed over time. And whenever you get involved with law, of course, then you're dealing with legal terms. And we saw in the study of economics that they came up with their own language, as well as this obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntacticians. As they developed language, they wall themselves in with specialized language and specialized knowledge and specialized skills. And then they hang out their little sign and they sell their services to the people. That's the world that we live in. Of course, there's nothing new about it. The great mysteries. We're going to touch on some of this today. We're going to get a little mysterious on this Friday the 13th, the Bonesman's Day. Actually, there's a lot to that whole story. It goes back to Jacques de Molay and all that. Rounding up the Templars, burning the feet off of old Jacques that carried his knuckle bones around for a while in pouches and things. But that's what it is with heretics and all of their relics, you know. But anyway, let's look at a little bit of news to set this all up again. This off of Bloomberg. Again, yesterday's news. I didn't get a chance to tell you much about this article, visiting as we were with Vicky. But gold fell again for the first time in 5 days in London as a stronger dollar prompted some investors to sell the metal after its rally to a record. Now, if you go up on the Kitco website, kitco.com, www.kitco.com website, they came up with this new way of figuring out or asking and answering the question, has gold really gone up? And they're showing that the difference between predominant buying and selling in the market versus the rise and fall of the U.S. dollar. And so there's a weight. They've weighted it there a little bit, and whether they're accurate in their forecast or not, nonetheless, that'll be determined in the future. But the idea is sound. So there are various influences that are causing the price of gold to fluctuate right now. And demand, of course, always plays heavily in that. The dollar index, back to the article, added as much as 0.2% after yesterday's slipping to a 15-month low. We talk about that often. Mark Faber said bullion, set for a ninth annual increase, will remain above $1,000 an ounce. In other words, we've hit a floor, we're going to put a floor at $1,000, and it's going to stay there for a while. The dollar is gaining some strength, said Sagiv Perez, senior dealer at Finotech Trading UK, London. There's a little bit of profit taking because the highs in gold at the moment are quite substantial. Of course, you know, gold is a relatively scarce commodity, no doubt about it. But we have this other group out there, the electronic trading of gold, the SPDR Gold Trust being the largest. And I would recommend that you take a very long, slow read of their prospectus, which you can find at their website. Just type in the SPDR Gold Trust into your browser, and you should come up with their web page and look at the prospectus. And in there, you're going to find a very interesting date for those that take the time to read it. But I would just bring it to your attention. 11, 11 of 11. November the 11th, 2011. Just 2 years from now, we're going to have something happen at that time, and I just draw it to your attention. These people have the ability to influence the gold market in the most profound ways. Electronic exchange traded funds. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
And thank you for that fine guitar playing, Carlos. Let's go back into what we were discussing before the break. Gold falls from a record in London, a stronger dollar spurs sales. I remember, I think it was either the first or the second morning here on Oracle Broadcasting when I first started broadcasting on this network, doing this morning broadcast. I'm not much of a morning person. I had to change my whole life around to be a morning person, so I hope you can bear with me. I do have a rather heady side to myself that was a little bit better suited for after midnight, but nevertheless, going back, well, yes. So anyway, it must have been the first or the second day of the broadcast. We had a young caller call in, and he'd been listening to other hosts on the network and whatnot, and wanted to know whether or not this was going to be an economics broadcast, you know, whether this is a money show. Absolutely not. I shared that with him then. But to think that economics is something akin to I don't know, your daddy's talk radio, one would have to be almost woefully naive or just terribly ignorant, because there's a lot to it. And whether you're involved in the mysteries, and we're going to go into the mysteries today, we're going to go into some thinkers today, whether you're involved in the process or not, it's happening. And it's happening big time, and it's driving the whole show right now globally. So from a philosophically radical standpoint, an understanding of economics is extremely important. Certainly, I'm not an economist. I am not a newsletter writer or a blogger or any of that. But we try and bring the information that you need to know. And as I go through these processes, starting in the dictionary, then off into the encyclopedias, and from the encyclopedias off into textbooks, and then off into the authors, it's a process of bringing to my own mind and increasing my own awareness of various and sundry things. And you can specialize in your life and fall into the trap of the division of labor and spend your entire life focusing on one particular aspect of your life. But as our caller from Wisconsin called in yesterday, the indigenous man, the man that has tribal relations, mentioned the, I don't know, you call them Indians or what? The Blackfeet, the Crow, the Sioux, the Pawnee, whatever you want to call them, the Athabascans, the Eskimos, the Algonquins, whatever. They had this idea that the wheel of life, and we're all in the spokes in this wheel. And so it only goes to our own service if we understand there are multiple spokes in the wheel, of which finances is but one. There's also the spiritual side of your life. There's the educational side of your life. There's the family and home side of the life. There's the recreational or nutrition and recreation, that kind of thing. Five or six basic areas of life. You can boil it all down. And so each of those spokes needs to be about the same length if you want your wheel of life to roll smoothly. A lot of wisdom in that comment that the caller had made. But anyway, going back into this article, it's talking about gold, all right? And it's going to be important to understand that, because there's, when you see someone like, you know, someone like China, the corporate Chinese, the communist red Chinese picking up, lots of gold. You see the East Indians picking up lots of gold. Central banks are distributing the gold around the planet. They're looking at various forms of covering their assets, if you will, in this global financial meltdown. So it's important. So we look at it. Pay attention to it. Dropping down in this article again, this is by Nicholas Larkins. I've read several of his articles before. He seems to be a pretty good researcher, and he was assisted in the article by Glenys Sim. But he says, gold increased to a record of $1,116 an ounce in the morning fixing in London. You know, of course, we always report that every morning. Some mining companies use fixings to sell the production. Anyway, Can it go up to a 1,150? Likely. The dollar index, currently at 75.262, dropped this year on a record low U.S. interest rates and increased government borrowing to combat recession. Gold priced in dollars tends to move in the opposite direction to the U.S. currency, but we know that gold has delinked or decoupled from the currency. It's got a mind of its own right now. Consensus remains very bullish. Andrev Khrushchenkov, an analyst at VTB Capital in London, said in a report, quote, a sustained push below 75 on the dollar index could see gold rallying even higher toward 1,150 before the end of the month. So we've got a few days on that one. Gold looks to be on target to hit 1,300 before the end of the year, said Wallace N.G., I don't know how you pronounce that. It must be Vietnamese. Hong Kong-based chief trader at Fortis Bank's commodity derivatives unit. Quote, it will still be the dollar in the driving seat, however, close quote. 1980s peak, the metal remains below its all-time high after adjusting or accounting for inflation. Gold spot price at $850 an ounce peak in 1980 equates to $2,227.84 today after adjusting for changes in price according to the U.S. Labor Department's inflation calculator. And then it continues, he says, we'll not see less than $1,000 level again, Mark Faber said at a conference yesterday. The former Drexel Burnham Lambert banker publishes the Gloom and Doom Report investment newsletter. And then he says that central banks are all the same. They're printers. Gold is maybe cheaper today than in 2001, given the interest rates, but you have to own physical gold. So there's the electronic trading, exchange-traded funds and things like that that are out there, and so much more to consider in the gold market. But as they always say, physical possession gold is a strong place to be, because no matter where it goes, goes up, goes down, or otherwise, it's not paper, and it's actually something. And if something is better than nothing, well, then certainly physical possession would be there. Now, another one, briefly, and I don't want to dwell too much on this. I've got a long ways to go today. But APEC, again, we've been talking about this throughout the week. APEC, this is another article off Bloomberg, today's news, new news. APEC awaits word on Obama trade policy pledged in May. Bloomberg, this is a Mark Drajam article. Barry the Usurper would press for new trade accords only after he sets out his approach to international commerce in a speech, U.S. officials said in May. 6 months later, trading partners are still waiting. Now, this is considerably different from the activities under the Clinton-Gore administration and the Jorge Bush administration. He's way late in coming forward with some kind of a trade policy, and it's making the global trading partners just a trifle nervous. Okay, so there's deep frustration at the lack of any trade policy, said Troy Strangarone, Director of Congressional Affairs at the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, a public policy research group funded mostly by South Korea's government. Trade will be a focus of Obama's 8-day trip to Asia, beginning today in Japan. He will also attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Singapore and visit Shanghai. Of course, he's going to visit with Japan as well. Now, anyway, dropping down in the article here, it says, Obama is not a president who believes instinctively in free trade, said Razin Sali, a director of European Center for International Policy Economy in Brussels, a trade policy research group. Quote, he's not a rampant protectionist either. He's ambivalent, somewhere in between. You might even be able to say that he really just doesn't have a clue, runs clueless. He has to wait for someone to tell him what he needs to say. For the past 10 months, the United States has lacked a comprehensive trade agenda. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, that's a guy that needs to find a new job, a Montana Democrat, said November the 10th, that absence is palpable. The president will use his Asia trip to provide more details about how he plans to use trade policy to boost exports to Asia, according to a senior administration official. Well, there's much more in that article. I would recommend that you look at it if you want to keep following this Asia-Pacific Economic Committee. No, that's not what it is. Why do I have such a block on that? It's because it doesn't end properly. It's not a complete thought. It breaks right in the middle, which is why it's difficult for me to memorize. Anyway, all of that aside, on the other side of this break, we're going to visit with some of the authors. Stay with me.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Hey, folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving, again, that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again. And going back now, let's start into a little bit of a deeper study here. Principles of economics, again, just briefly, review a little bit of what we've talked about in the past. One of the most important controversies, this from Chapter 34, published again, this book in 1953 by D.C. Heath. It's a college textbook, Free Enterprise versus the Controlled Economy, Chapter 34. One of the most important controversies of contemporary society has been the argument concerning the values of the American way of life as contrasted with the societies of the various isms. We're going to get into some of these isms and societies this morning. Socialism, communism, fascism, etc. This argument may be reduced to an argument between what we've characterized in this textbook as the free enterprise economy versus the controlled economy. And then it goes on to define terms in all of this. But it goes down to this point. There are several kinds of socialism. He's already described individualism and collectivism. The third theory, a third way, is socialism, or the state is socialism, function of the state. And he says there are several kinds of socialism. Marxian socialism, but one kind, which was the original movement as promulgated by Karl Mordecai Marx. But you've got to realize that Karl Mordecai Marx was not necessarily the promulgator. He was the writer. He, together with Engels, produced a document, the Communist Manifesto, for a bunch of Englishmen, many of which were positivists, on contract. He put it together. They wrote it. He was an author. He was a blogger, if you will, posting articles in the New York Slime. But Marxian socialism included four important principles. The first is the economic interpretation of history. Marx declared that all history was a story of the movement of economic forces, that wars, changes of rulers, population shifts, and all other historical occurrences were the result of economic forces. And then he went on and he listed out other things. But this economic interpretation of history, what is that? Was it new to Karl Mordecai? The wife abuser? The guy that put his children in the attic? Puke? Was it original with him? No. No, it certainly wasn't original with him at all. Now, previously, we've studied out of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences. This set of encyclopedias was published back by the Macmillan Company. Looks like 1937 out of New York. This is an article title heading, Human Ecology. I've shared this with you before. Human ecology deals with the spatial aspects of the symbiotic relations of human beings and human institutions. And as we begin to get a little better of an understanding about the economic history, the economic interpretation of history that Marx is remembered for, we're going to see that this idea of human beings and human institutions and their economics play a big role in all of that. Human ecology. Again, it aims to discover the principles and the factors involved in the changing patterns of spatial arrangements of population and institutions resulting from the interplay of living beings in a continuously changing culture. The subject of human ecology can be classified under three general categories: ecological organization, ecological dominance, and ecological succession. The research in the field of human ecology has been done largely by geographers, students of population, and economic historians. Students of population have contributed data on the distribution, migration, and the density of peoples. The chief limitation of their research from an ecological standpoint lies in the fact that they tend to regard the political area, usually the state, as the territorial unit of aggregation rather than the area which arises out of conditions of competitive cooperation. They also tend to consider equilibrium as fundamentally a relation between gross numbers and natural resources rather than as a phenomenon of a hierarchical structure of a division of labor. Well, there's much more on that. Set that aside for a moment and go deeper into the understanding of what is this economic interpretation of history. Well, there's a lot to it. The Survey of the Development to the 20th Century, an article titled Economic History, this very long section in this particular set of encyclopedias is quite revealing but tedious. So I can't just read to you extensively from it. We'd all go to sleep at this time of the morning, and even the strongest coffee and the smell of two eggs, scrambled hash browns, and whole wheat toast in the kitchen couldn't keep us awake. But the best minds of the 17th century had been almost all worshippers of Leviathan. It's just a sentence out of this opening paragraph from the encyclopedia. What is Leviathan? That would be the writings of Sir Thomas Hobbes, his book, Leviathan, from which I get this idea of all men at war against all men. Without some form of government, things get to be ugly. Thomas Hobbes was quite the Tory, I guess you would say. He was a strong supporter of the Crown and Parliament assembled in a organized religion as being necessary. But again, the best minds of the 17th century had been almost all worshippers of Leviathan and were universally curious, so they valued all facts bearing on the state's power and wealth. We're going into the beginnings of the study, the rise of what would become the science, if you will, as specialist as it is, of economics. And there are many, many writers preceding Marx. Marx is late in this deal. Many writers prior to Marx. Of course, we've all heard of Adam Smith, but there's many others involved in this. John Smith preceded Adam Smith. Postlethwaite's History of the Public Revenue from 1688 to 1758, which you published in 1759, is another one. Adam Anderson's Comprehensive Historical and Chronological Deduction of the Origins of Commerce. Lots of people were looking into this. You see, they didn't have this body of information all pulled together for them. This was something new. This idea of studying money in a whole nother way, economics, in a whole nother way. We were transitioning from one time period to another. We were crossing that threshold from the old world order into the new political and economic order. The political, legal, and economic revolutions of the period from 1789 to 1848 raised historical problems and stirred historical imagination. There were revolutionary agrarian changes all over Western Europe, which aroused curiosity about agrarian history. Machine industry was spreading from England to the continent and developing on its own lines in America. The German national revival and reaction from the unhistorical attitude of the 18th century philosophy inspired the legal and institutional history of Eichhorn and Savigny, which in its turn inspired the historical economics of Roscher, interesting book in German. Through the historical school in economics and through encouraging research into the legal history of institutions, again human ecology, many of which had important economic bearings, the historical school in jurisprudence has been responsible for a very large amount of work on economic history in Germany and for its emphasis on origins and structure rather than on function. German nationalism and the knowledge of American protectionist thought inspired Das Nationalsystem der Politischen Ökonomie by Friedrich List. List was an anti-free trade propagandist and a political genius, rather than a professed historian. His contentions led the economist straight into history, for they asked him to study problems of wealth, not at a point in time and all on one plane, but to think of the living, changing nations on different and shifting planes, and of the growth of their productive powers. Now, I've just skipped over an enormous section here. We have to also understand that Malthus's essay on population, published back in 1798, is important. It appeared in the following year, was at first printed more dogmatic than historical, but in five succeeding editions, he helped historical and statistical material about the argument which dominated the thought of English economists for half a century. It was not until sometime after Charles Darwin, had drawn inspiration from it that its relevance to social and economic history was fully appreciated. Lots going on in these time periods. Of course, many times I've shared with you about who is Claude Henri du Rouvroy Saint-Simon and why do we care? In France, Saint-Simon, who, like Liszt, was no historian and knew something of America, yes, he did, fought alongside George Washington at the Battle of Yorktown in charge of a battery of French mortars, the last one to be coronated, if you will, presented the Order of Cincinnatus. George Washington's Revolutionary War Badge of Honor. It's like the Medal of Honor. Yeah, Claude Henri Saint-Simon. In France, Saint-Simon, who like Liszt was no historian and knew something of America, had taught to a group of able and influential disciples, one of which would become Auguste Comte, the founder of positivism and the man that coined the term sociology. He also coined the term altruism, and humanitarianism is often pointed at him. Lots of stuff going on here now. We're going to start really shaking this tree. We'll be right back.
Thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Back to our article here, right out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences Economic History. Again, in France, Saint Simon, who, like Liszt, was no historian and knew something of America, had taught to a group of able and influential disciples, and they would become known as the Saint Simonians. They got into a terrible brawl with the Rothschilds. That's another story for another time. Anyway, had taught to a group of able and influential disciples. Again, Auguste Comte figures in that. The absolute primacy of industry. You go back and look in your history books and find out what you can find out about the medieval time period. What was it like back there in the manors, the lords and the manors, the feudal systems, etc.? Well, that's what these gentlemen were doing. They were trying to figure this all out. They never pieced it all together. They didn't understand whether the price theory was there or not. They didn't understand a lot of this laws of demand and supply as well as they would have liked. Remember, as the Christianity expanded westward, it was like mind-forged manacles. It was like having a box of darkness clamped down on the people, and the church suppressed all things. They ran all things, too, generally. That's a story for another day. We've covered that with Daryl Eberhardt. He was, again, Saint Simon was mainly interested in the future, but his influence, direct or indirect, tended to make economic historians out of those interested in the past. But his absolute primacy was in industry. We know that we came from the Dark Ages into the rise of this new system, the liberal arts. We talked about that back to Venice and Florence, Italy and Rome, the Borgia Pope, etc. the discovery once again of Oceania, of America, the northern and southern hemispheres, Amerigus Vespucci, Cristobal Colom, the admiral from which Admiralty Law descends in that. Of course, you've got to keep in mind Hugo, Samuel Pufendorf, Hugo Grotius, and others when you get involved in a natural law and start to look into the laws of the sea and things like that. Early writers. But anyway, moving forward again, during the 19th century, all civilized nations adopted regular censuses. The need for statistics of every kind was urged by reforming philosophers, in England especially by Jeremy Bentham. The Benthamites, of course, they are the philosophical radicals. When we talk about the home of philosophical radicalism, we start right in there. James Mill, Jeremy Bentham, many others, Francis Hutcheson, John Locke, all those guys. And then his son, the son of Jeremy Bentham, and James Mill, James Mill's son, John Stuart Mill, the rise of utilitarianism, another ism, always isms on this broadcast. But again, during the 19th century, all civilized nations adopted regular censuses. The need for statistics of every kind was urged by reforming philosophers. And, of course, our founders were philosophical radicals of their day, and we had censuses included in our Constitution. By government officials who needed exact materials, and by men of affairs who wished to gauge national economic policy and progress. The result was a steady increase of statistical material, but until 1815, in some fields, until much later, the gaps were immense. Piecing it all together, 6,500 years of history, you know, it was quite late. The archaeologists really went to work, started digging around in the tells, finding all of these pharaoh's tombs and stuff and exhuming them and looking inside and trying to figure out what is all of this little cone-shaped writing, and they find out it's cuneiform. Then they learned how to decipher all of the various languages, all of this in the last 200 years. Drop down a little further here. I'm going to close this part of it out. There's so much more. But, you know, I've been asked many times by listeners and emails to this broadcast for bibliographies, lists of books. Well, I would spend the rest of my time trying to create a card catalog of all the books that I've got in my own library and the ones that I know of that I would like to add to my library but can't find in English. That's not the point. There's no end to the amount of books that are out there, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Sometimes you've got to get the power of discernment, start to understand where we're going in all of this, but going in further here. Meanwhile, in the first two editions of the first volume of Das Kapital, this was 1867-1873, Karl Marx had thrown down his challenge to economists and historians, calling them into the modern world. That's an interesting use of terminology there, calling them into the modern world, right out of Auguste Comte's opening address, but at the same time making suggestions about the course of economic evolution in earlier ages, and indeed about the whole nature of history and the place of economics in human affairs, which must either be accepted or disapproved. Dropping down, but by beginning with the 70s, the 1870s, the Marxian conception of capitalism slowly acquired a prominent place in historical thought. The Marxian conception of capitalism. Historians and economists became increasingly concerned with such questions as the origins of capitalism, its forms and relations to other types of economic organization, its spread and influence in various societies and at various dates, its relations with the problems of money and the vicissitudes of prices, its connection with the earlier and later history of the New World. And then there goes into Sombart. Such discussions, however, entered their contemporary phase only with the appearance in 1902 of the first two volumes of Sombart's. Again, this is German, but it's Der Moderne Kapitalismus, or The Modern Capitalism, a more frankly historical and academic, less partisan, but not less challenging work than Das Kapital. So if you've read Das Kapital, may I recommend Sombart's The Modern Capitalism. three volumes, published 1927. Going down a little further here, Sombert's distinction based on Marx between early and high capitalism, high in quotes, with a dividing line at the great mechanical inventions, has been fruitful, and so have his suggestive, if incomplete and overemphasized, accounts of the part played by war and luxury in promoting large-scale industry and the standardization of output. Marx went to history to prove a thesis and find material for a forecast, but there's more. A decade later, Sidney and Beatrice Webb, standing much further to the political left, than whom? Karl Mordecai Marx? The Fabian Socialists further to the left than communism? In this author's mind? Sidney and Beatrice Webb, standing much further to the political left, capitalized, dealt with the same problem in their History of Trade Unionism, which, with only very slight traces of political bias, applied strict methods of research to the most recent and most controversial history. In the same period, Ashley, a younger Oxford contemporary of Toynbee and the incumbent of the first chair of economic history in the English-speaking world at Harvard, produced in his Introduction to English Economic History and Theory, this is 1888 to 1893, the first chair of economic history, a strictly scientific thesis or synthesis. Continuing, and it brings us up into the more modern time, during the decade of 1890 to 1900, the legal, institutional, and economic history of the Middle Ages in England and elsewhere was illuminated by the towering personality, intellect, and scholarship of Maitland. Important. History of English Law, 1895, The Township and Borough, 1898, and The Domesday Book and Beyond, 1897, Maitland. Check it out. Just type it in the browser. Economic history, Maitland, probably gets some rather interesting stuff. Study and research in the 20th century. No, let me get there. This particular author, J.H. Clapman, ends his article for the encyclopedia this way. Ages read and write history by the light of their own knowledge and ideals, and they interpret it by their own experience. You can see that around us today. Look at all the various conspiracy theory books that are out there. Okay, everybody going to the nth degree on 9/11 and all of the rest of this claptrap. Ages read and write history by the light of their own knowledge and ideals, and they interpret it by their own experience. This is Victor Goes the Spoils. We're writing history today. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11. 9/11, proving, again, that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, November the 13th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour, we've opened up a little bit of a study, if you will, on this Marxian concept of the economic interpretation of history, and we discover that by no means is he the first, the earliest, or even the best of this economic historian concept and mindset. No, there was many others. And as we closed out the last hour's broadcast, we read this little quotation here out of the closing paragraph of J.H. Clapham's article in the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences titled Economic History, where he says ages read and write history by the light of their own knowledge with and ideals, and they interpret it by their own experience. And so when we go back and we look at all of these books that have been written over the years, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of them, many. Men who have gone in and they've searched out all of the records of the various time periods, trying to unravel this Gordian knot of what was going on in the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, if you will, what happened during the Enlightenment, and where they were today in the time that they were writing as we were moving away from the Commercial Revolution, moving into the Industrial Revolution and forward, looking forward, trying to get their minds around this new idea of a study known as economics. Now, here out of the local newspaper, the Berry County Advertiser, Wednesday, November the 4th, we find an article titled this, headline, Lifelong Mason Honored. Brother Charles England of Cassville is presented with a 50-year certificate and lapel pin from the Grand Lodge of Missouri. Brother Ken Robbins makes the presentation to Brother England for 56 years of support and service to the Masonic Lodge of Cassville, small town America. England is pictured to the left and Robbins is pictured to the right. We're going to get to another Robinson in a moment. Here's another one right out of the local newspaper, small town America. Wednesday, October the 28th, Cassville Masonic Lodge installs new officers. Here's the article. The 139th annual installation of officers, been around a while, was held October the 3rd, 2009 at the Pythagoras Lodge, number 383, Masonic Lodge on North Main in Cassville. The following pictured here are the 2009-2010 officers. I won't read them all. Give you an idea. Front row, left to right, Ron Miller, the junior steward, Jerry Kirkpatrick, the senior warden, Ken Robbins, the treasurer, Ben Fine, the master, the worshipful master, Jerry Jenkins, chaplain, Gail Purvis, secretary, back row, Doyle Nickel, member, Richard Auerheimer, the senior deacon, and so there's, it goes on. The installation was open to all families and friends, with about 50 people attending the celebration. 139 years. And, of course, they all have their little sheepskin aprons, which is basically a square and a equilateral triangle folded over the top with the waistband as the dividing line between the square and the triangle. symbology, if you will. We're going to get into that symbology here. Keep in mind our text on economics. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Right after this break, I'm going to share with you a little bit of Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robison, A.M., written back in 1798. We're going to look into the Illuminati.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. What is a lodge anyway? What is a lodge? We talk a little bit about the Masonic Lodge here. This is the third section out of a small work. Before I go to John Robison, this is a small work that's published. It's titled The Masonic Monitor of the degrees of Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and Master Mason, together with the ceremony of receiving visitors, instituting and constituting lodges, the installation, laying the cornerstones, dedications, Masonic burials, and the Lodge of Sorrow, adopted by the most worshipful Grand Lodge Free and Accepted Masons of Arkansas, November the 16th of 1954. I have the original document in front of me, a little booklet here. Third section. This section explains the manner of constituting and the proper authority for holding a lodge. Also, where anciently held, its form, supports, covering, etc. A lodge is an assemblage of masons duly congregated, having the Holy Bible, the square and compasses, and a dispensation or a charter authorizing them to work. Our ancient brethren held their lodges on high hills or in low vales, the better to observe the approach of Cohens and eavesdroppers, either ascending or descending. Lodge meetings at the present day are usually held in upper chambers, probably for the security which such places afford, but they may be held elsewhere, provided proper safeguards are taken. This custom may have had its origin in a practice observed by the ancient Jews of building their temples, schools, and synagogues on high hills, a practice which seems to have met the approbation of the Almighty, who said unto the prophet Ezekiel, quote, "Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy." Forms and dimensions, its form is oblong, always and everywhere. Its dimension from east to west embraces every clime between north and south. Its universal chain of friendship encircles every portion of the human family and beams wherever civilization extends. A lodge is said to be thus extensive to denote the universality, or Catholicity would be another way of saying it, of Freemasonry, and teaches that a Mason's charity should be equally extensive. And then it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robinson, AM 1798. This is an introduction to the American Classics edition. And it begins to tell just a little bit about this. Very few people are aware that the intense drama of our 20th century, now in the 21st, the life and death struggle between capitalism and communism, freedom and slavery, has its origins in the late 18th century. All Americans are aware that the Declaration of Independence was written in 1776. Few are aware that Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, which provided the ideological foundation for capitalism and for the Industrial Revolution, was published in 1776. And fewer still are aware that in that same year, 1776, Adam Weishaupt, a professor of canon law at Ingolstadt University in Germany, founded the Illuminati Order, a conspiratorial organization which embodied all of the goals, aims, and methods of what we now call communism. All history books will tell you of the first event. A good many will tell you of the second, but practically none will even allude to the last. Why? When you know the answer to that question, you know history better than the historians. The two prime sources for our knowledge of Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati conspiracy are Professor John Robison's Proofs of a Conspiracy, first published in 1798, and the Abbe Augustin Barul's impressive four-volume study, Memoirs Illustrating the History of Jacobinism, the Jacobins, published in 1799. Here's some more. Robison, in this work, is more than merely a historian. He is a philosopher, a moralist, a social commentator, wise observer of human foibles, scientist, critic, and stylist. Professor Robison was a member of the distinguished circle of intellectuals who at the time enhanced the reputation of the University of Edinburgh, Scotland, of course. In fact, in 1783, Robison was elected General Secretary of the Royal Society of Edinburgh. In short, Robison was one of the leading intellects of his time, deeply interested in every aspect of man's attainment, both scientific and moral, in civilized society. I'm just going through bullet points here. There's not enough time to read it all. The ostensible purpose of the order was to bring universal happiness to the human race. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. The ostensible purpose of the order was to bring universal happiness to the human race. The idea was, in Weishaupt's words, to form a durable combination of the most worthy persons who should work together in removing the obstacles to human happiness, become terrible to the wicked, and give their aid to the good without distinction, and should, by the most powerful means, first fetter, and by fettering, lessen vice. Means which, at the same time, should promote virtue, by rendering the inclination to rectitude hitherto feeble, more powerful and engaging. Would not such an association be a blessing to the world? To be more explicit, the Illuminati order was built around the novel idea that the end, the happiness of the human race, justified the means. And so when I asked the question, how did the words, the pursuit of happiness, find their way into the Declaration of Independence? Perhaps we could look here. Members of the secret order pledged a blind obedience to what their superiors and only knew about the organization what their immediate superiors would tell them. Their oath read in part this, quote, I bind myself to perpetual silence and unshaken loyalty and submission to the order in the persons of my superiors, here making a faithful and complete surrender of my private judgment, my own will, and every narrow-minded enjoyment of my power and influence, close quote. Members were required to spy on one another and submit reports and autobiographies which could compromise them should they decide to leave the order. The French lodges, which were eventually to become the Jacobin Club of Revolutionary Fame, is the conclusion of a lengthy sentence there. With the background on French Freemasonry given, Robeson then examines the state of Freemasonry in Germany, where the Illuminati aberration originated. He describes the schisms with German Freemasonry, the great fascination with mysteries, the widespread influence of deism, the philosophy that the universe is creating God rather than the reverse, and such utopian ideas imported from France as cosmopolitanism of world citizenship. Barry the usurper, a world citizen, a cosmopolitan, I would say Neapolitan. Well, there's much more. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And it should be remembered that in all of the Masonic lodges, there is always the Bible. It must be present. Set aside it is with the three great lights, but it's opened always to the same place. That is Genesis 1, 1 through 3, where it reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light." And the Mason always asks for more and more light. The light bearer. Let's put some light on this. Again, back to Proof of Conspiracy by John Robison, 1798. In his own words, he says this, but, here's a quote, "But I have contrived an explanation which has every advantage, is inviting to Christians of every communion, gradually frees them from all religious prejudices, cultivates the social virtues, and animates them by a great, a feasible, and speedy prospect of universal happiness in a state of liberty and moral equality. Freed from the obstacles which subordination, rank, and riches continually throw in our way, my explanation is accurate and complete. My means are effectual and irresistible. Our secret association works in a way that nothing can withstand, and man shall soon be free and happy." Jump up a little bit here. "It is by this scale that we must measure the mad and wicked explanations of the Rosicrucians, the exorcists, and the Kabbalists. These are rejected by all good Masons because incompatible with social happiness. Only such systems as promote this are retained. But alas, they are all sadly deficient because they leave as under the dominion of political and religious prejudice, and they are as inefficient as the sleepy dose of an ordinary sermon." Dropping down, here's another quote. I think these are the words of Adam Weishaupt, by the way. "This is the great object held out by this association, the means of attaining its illumination, always the light, enlightening the understanding by the Sun of Reason." Oh, yeah. The Sun of Reason, "which will dispel the clouds of superstition and prejudice. The proficients in this order are therefore justly named the illuminated. And of all illumination which human reason can give, none is comparable to the discovery of what we are, our nature, our obligations, what happiness we are capable of, and what are the means of attaining it. In comparison with this, The most brilliant sciences are but amusements for the idle and luxurious, to fit man by illumination for active virtue, to engage him to it by the strongest motives, to render attainment of it is easy and certain by finding employment for every talent, and by placing every talent in its proper sphere of action. So that all, without feeling any extraordinary effort, and in conjunction with and completion of ordinary business, shall urge forward with united powers the general task. And what is this general object? Why, it's the happiness of the human race. It is not distressing to a generous mind, after contemplating what human nature is capable of, to see how little we enjoy. When we look at this goodly world and see that every man may be happy, but that happiness of one depends on the conduct of another, when we see the wicked so powerful and the good so weak, and that it is in vain to strive singly and alone against the general current of vice and oppression, the wish naturally arises in the mind that it were possible to form a durable combination of the most worthy persons who should work together in removing the obstacles to human happiness. And preceding the Webb's idea of Fabian socialism, this association must be gradual. There are some such persons to be found in every society. Such noble minds will be engaged in the heart-winning object. The first task of the association must therefore be to form the young members. It's a secret union. Gradualism comes into play here as well. Is there more? Lots more. Here's a little bit. O fairest of creation, last and best of all God's works, creature in whom excelled, whatever can to fight or thought be formed, holy, divine, good, amiable, or sweet, how art thou lost, and now to death devote, and me with thee hast ruined, for with thee certain my resolution is to die. Adam Weishaupt, the Illuminati. So what is it with these people anyway? There's so much. Where shall we go next? I think I'm going to go to Aldous Huxley. Let's go to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World and get a little bit from this fellow. So very interesting, where he also speaks about happiness. See where I should pick it up. But to return to the future, this is out of his Brave New World. I have the Modern Library version. This was published back when. Let's see. It was originally published in 1932. And I have the 1946 edition here in front of me. But to return to the future, again, the words of Aldous Huxley, if I were now to rewrite the book, he's talking about this new edition, this is the foreword, I would offer the savage, capital S, a third alternative between the utopian and the primitive horns of this dilemma. The horns of the dilemma would lie the possibility of sanity, a possibility already actualized to some extent in a community of exiles and refugees from the Brave New World, living within the borders of the reservation. In this community, economics would be decentralist and Henry Georgian, politics Kropotkinesque and cooperative, science and technology would be used as though, like the Sabbath, they had been made for man, not, as at present and still more so in the Brave New World, as though man were to be adapted and enslaved to them. Religion would be the conscious and intelligent pursuit of man's final end, capital F, capital E, the final solution, man's final end, the unitive knowledge of the immanent Tao, or Logos, in the beginning was God, Logos, in the beginning was logic, and logic, these are my words, better not go there, upset the listeners. The unitive knowledge of the immanent Tao or Logos, the transcendent Godhead or Brahman, and the prevailing philosophy of life would be a kind of higher utilitarianism. Again, remembering John Stuart Mill, in which the greatest happiness principle, here capitalized G, greatest, capital H, happiness, in which the greatest happiness principle would be secondary to the final end principle. The first question to be asked and answered in any contingency of life being, quote, how will this thought or action contribute to or interfere with the achievement by me and the greatest possible number of others, other individuals, of man's final end? In other words, the greatest good of the greatest number principle, the greatest happiness principle here in The Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. And it continues. We'll pick that up on the other side, go into his other book, Brave New World Revisited, touch on Bernard Baruch, Bertrand Russell, and the Webbs. We'll return.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving again that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And again, reading from the 1946 edition of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, the Modern Library Books edition, we find it he's written this: there is, of course, no reason why the new totalitarian isms should resemble the old. Government by clubs and firing squads, by artificial famine, mass imprisonment, and mass deportation is not merely inhumane. Nobody cares much about that nowadays, parenthetically. It is demonstrably inefficient, and in an age of advanced technology, inefficiency is the sin against the Holy Ghost. A really efficient totalitarian state would be one in which the all-powerful executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. To make them love it is the task assigned in present-day totalitarian states to ministries of propaganda, newspaper editors, and school teachers. But their methods are still crude and unscientific. The old Jesuits boast that if they were given the schooling of the child, they could answer for the man's religious opinions, was a product of wishful thinking. And the modern pedagogue is probably rather less efficient at conditioning his pupils' reflexes than were the Reverend Fathers who educated Voltaire. The greatest triumphs of propaganda have been accomplished not by doing something, but by refraining from doing. Greatest truth, but still greater from a political point of view, is silence about truth, as we know that to be suppressio veri, the suppression of truth. By simply not mentioning certain subjects, by lowering what Mr. Churchill calls an iron curtain between the masses and such facts or arguments as the local political bosses regard as undesirable, totalitarian propagandists have influenced opinion much more effectively than they could have done by the most eloquent denunciations, the most compelling of logical rebuttals. But silence is not enough. Well, a lot from Aldous Huxley. Here's something that I found rather interesting in his Brave New World Revisited. And this is a paperback edition, a Bantam 50 Center. Had it for a very long time. Originally published in 1958. I have the fourth printing, 1959, open in front of me on my desk, where we read page 24 and 5. The current social ethic, it is obvious, is merely a justification after the fact of the less desirable consequences of over-organization. It represents a pathetic attempt to make a virtue of necessity, to extract a positive value from an unpleasant datum. It is very unrealistic and therefore very dangerous system of morality. The social whole, whose value was assumed to be greater than all of its component parts, that's that happiness principle, the greatest good for the greatest number, again, the social whole, communitarianism, takes a communitarian to raise a village, right? The social whole, whose value was assumed to be greater than that of its component parts, is not an organism in the sense that a hive or a termitary might be thought as an organism. It is merely an organization, a piece of social machinery. There can be no value except in relation to life and awareness. An organization is neither conscious nor alive. Its value is instrumental and derivative. It is not good in itself. It is good only to the extent that it promotes the good of the individuals who are the parts of the collective whole. To give organizations precedence over persons is to subordinate ends to means. What happens when ends are subordinated to means was clearly demonstrated by Hitler and Stalin. Under their hideous rule, personal ends were subordinated to organizational means by a mixture of violence and propaganda, systematic terror, and the systematic manipulation of minds. In the more efficient dictatorships of tomorrow, there will probably be much less violence than under a Hitler or Stalin. The future dictators' subjects will be painlessly regimented by a core of highly trained social engineers. Remember, Auguste Comte. Quote, the challenge of social engineering in our time, close quote, writes an enthusiastic advocate of this new science, quote, is like the challenge of technical engineering 50 years ago. If the first half of the 20th century was the era of technical engineers, the second half may well be the era of the social engineers, close quote, and the 21st century, I suppose, that would be the time we're in now, will be the era of world controllers. The scientific caste system, Brave New World, to the question of, excuse me, the scientific caste system and Brave New World, to the question of qui, cosidiet, or custodes, and that's who's going to be the custodian here, who will mount guard over our guardians. This is the question. Who will mount guard over our guardians? Who will engineer the engineers? The answer is a bland denial that they need any supervision. Now listen, there seems to be a touching belief among certain PhDs in sociology that PhDs in sociology will never be corrupted by power. Like Sir Galahad's, their strength is as the strength of 10 because their heart is pure. And their heart is pure because they are scientists and have taken 6,000 hours of social studies. Who's going to guard over and rule the custodians? As August Comte styled it, in this positive stage of human development, man basically would be ruled over by the captains of finance and industry, and they would appoint their dictator. And the dictator would be supported in all of his endeavors by a cadre of super social scientists, here mentioned by Aldous Huxley in his Brave New World Revisited, who will watch over all of the super social scientists as they watch over us. It's going to the autobiography of Bertrand Russell. This is a book club edition published quite a while back. Let's see when it was published. This is the 1967 edition in hardbound. Very interesting fellow. If you haven't ever taken a look at who Bertrand Russell is, but I find it rather interesting that he includes this discussion because he's intimately aware of whom these people are. And we're going to cover that. We've already mentioned it once this morning, but we're going to cover it a little bit more in a moment, if time allows. Sidney and Beatrice Webb, this is the autobiography of Bertrand Russell. Sidney and Beatrice Webb, after all, he was the son, by the way, of Lord and Lady Amberley. English people of high regard. Sidney and Beatrice Webb, whom I knew intimately for a number of years, at times even sharing a house with them, were the most completely married couple that I have ever known. Bertrand writes. They were, however, very averse from any romantic view of love or marriage. Marriage was a social institution designed to fit the instinct into a legal framework. During the first 10 years of their marriage, Mrs. Webb would remark at intervals, quote, as Sidney always says, marriage is the waste paper basket of the emotions, close quote. In later years, there was a slight change. They would generally have a couple to stay with them for the weekend, and on Sunday afternoon they would go for a brisk walk, Sidney with the lady and Beatrice with the gentleman. At a certain point, Sidney would remark, I know just what Beatrice is saying at this moment. She's saying, as Sidney always says, marriage is the waste paper basket of the emotions, close quote. Whether Sidney ever really did say this or not is unknown. I knew Sidney before his marriage, but he was then much less than half of what the two of them afterwards became. Their collaboration was quite dovetailed. Again, these are the founders of British Fabian Socialism being discussed by an intimate friend, Bertrand Russell. I used to think that this was perhaps an undue simplification, that she had the ideas, he did the work. He was perhaps the most industrious man that I have ever known. When they were writing a book on local government, they would send circulars to all local government officials throughout the country, asking questions and pointing out that the official in question could legally purchase their forthcoming book out of the rates. When I let my house to them, the postman, who was an ardent socialist, did not know whether to be more honored by serving them or annoyed at having to deliver 1,000 answers a day to their circulars. Webb was originally a second division clerk in the civil service, but by immense industry succeeded in rising into the first division. Mrs. Webb had a wider range of interest than her husband. She took considerable interest in the individual human beings, not only when they could be useful, She was deeply religious without belonging to any recognized brand of orthodoxy, though as a socialist, she preferred the Church of England because it was a state institution. And there's a lot more. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They are forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now they're bleaching breads to look like multigrain, so you have to brown.
Get your ugly white ass out of here.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Exactly. Central.
And so once again, we return and we find reading from the autobiography of Bertrand Russell, more about his intimate relationship and knowledge of Sidney and Beatrice Webb. If anyone ever wanted to understand that connection, there you go. Talking about Mrs. Webb and Mr. Webb. Sidney Webb was a disciple of Herbert Spencer, and Mrs. Webb was the most notable product of that philosopher's theories of education, he continues, the Fabians. When she became interested in socialism, this would be Sidney, she decided to sample the Fabians, especially the three most distinguished, who were Webb, Shaw, and Graham Wallace. There was something like the Judgment of Paris with the sexes reversed. It was Sidney who emerged as the counterpart of Aphrodite. Webb had been entirely dependent upon his earnings, whereas Beatrice had inherited competence from her father. Beatrice had the mentality of the governing class, which Sidney had not. Seeing that they had enough to live on without earning, they decided to devote their lives to research and to the higher branches of propaganda. In both, they were amazingly successful. Their books are a tribute to their industry, and the School of Economics a tribute to Sidney's skill. What is a School of Economics? Back to our study of the economic history. Out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, we travel in general from general to specific, and we look and study and research in the 20th century, this in Great Britain. Economic history and had a place in Oxford and Cambridge historical curricula before 1880. With the death of Toynbee and Rogers, the passage of Ashley from Oxford to America, Cambridge became more prominent. Cunningham was teaching there, and Marshall was at the time giving much attention to history. The foundation of the London School of Economics in 1895, as well as the establishment of economic curricula and increased attention to the economic and social history in historical curricula at Cambridge, Oxford, and other British universities, tended to give wider scope to the study of economic history in Great Britain during the 20th century. There was no professorship of economic history, though, until 1910, when a chair was founded for George Unwin at Manchester, but there were many readerships and lectureships. A chair was founded at Cambridge in 1928 and at Oxford in 1931. Monographs on social and industrial history began to appear from the London School soon after its foundation, and close association with it were issued the volumes of Sidney and Beatrice Webb's Great History. The English local government, of which the most strictly economic are those on the King's Highway, published in 1913, and on the Poor Law, 1927-1929, recalls to memory Jeremy Bentham and his work. Research work at the school was largely inspired by Mrs. Knowles until her death in 1926. Knowles' Industrial and Commercial Revolutions in Great Britain during the 19th century and Her Economic Development of the British Overseas Empire, published in 1924, indicated the lines along which she had worked. She was assisted by and succeeded by Tawney, the author of numerous works, of which the most important are The Agrarian Problem in the 16th Century, Religion, and The Rise of Capitalism, published in 1926. The latter traversing in a different fashion the ground covered earlier by Max Weber. Now, there's much more here, but I'll give you this as well. Among the publications of the government of special interest to the economic historian, the inventories of the Royal Commission on the Ancient and Historical Monuments, begun in 1910. If you're going back and listening to these archives and making notes of these things, you can write them down, browse them up, and you will find much reading in today's broadcast. And the archaeological work of the Ordnance Survey Office Claim Notice. The latter published Crawford's Air Survey and Archaeology in 1928, which illuminated Celtic, Roman, and Saxon field history and has since issued remarkable maps of Roman Britain and 17th century England. And then it goes on and it talks more about the Economic Journal and the Economic History Review. The original work in economic history continues to appear in the English Historical Review and so on. I'm going to skip the rest of it because we're out of time almost. But what is air survey and archaeology? All that coming on us and at us, remember, from our studies from the symposium in 1955 at Princeton, New Jersey, Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth, where we're reading from Samuel Ordway and his writings, and we got into this idea of the aerial photography and how that helped to get things started, moving us towards what we now see is this climate change, man-made global warming, urban planning, urban renewal, urban redevelopment, the Downtown Revitalization Enhancement Act, all of the rest of that stuff flows from this study that has its roots in Adam Weishaupt, others in the Illuminati. Bernard Baruch is a very interesting person. If you haven't studied him, this is out of Bernard Baruch, Portrait of a Citizen by W.L. White. This is ostensibly a biography. It may be about as biographical as some of the stuff that is written about presidents, but nevertheless, it makes for an interesting read. I haven't tracked out and crisscrossed it all out, but there's lots of quotations in here. Before we do that, let's go here and go live to our caller and see if we've got Lily from North Carolina. Lily, are you there? Hold on a second. Trying it. Here we go. There you go, Lily. Good morning, Lily. Can you talk to me? There you are. Speak up, dear. And what's going on? She hung up. Well, next time, Lily, call in earlier. Okay, back to the document here. While yesterday's optimist sweated, Baruch, in the dark days of the crash, could live like a prince, as Alvin Johnson remembers. There was that night after an annual WIB reunion when he brought the boys and their guest of honor, John Pershing, to his Fifth Avenue mansion where they found it a perfect bar with a brass rail. The impressed general of the armies, not knowing quite where he was, peered from the pinch bottles and Chianti flasks around the big mirrored base to the life-size full-bosomed marble Venus who lolled in a seashell at its top. I didn't know this place, Mr. Baruch. Do you think I could get a card? As the depression deepened, Baruch was occasionally consulted by President Herbert Hoover. We've been good friends since 1910, the ex-president remembers, when we met in the mining business. You might look at the Teapot Dome scandal. I appreciate his sterling character, with no prompting from President Hoover, but just to keep the Democratic Party's record straight, he persuaded his close friend, Senate Leader Joe Robinson, not to oppose confirmation of Chief Justice Hughes, and it continues. Don't let that man pick your brains to get himself out of the hole he's in. Drops down further, further. In June of 1932, his private railroad car stopped at Chicago, where it disgorged a merry cast of characters as the Democrats were convening to nominate a candidate. Baruch's old WIB colleague, Albert Ritchie, was now Maryland's governor and favorite son, but true to his 1924 vow, Baruch had given no money or support to any candidate. "Why should I?" he exploded to Hugh Johnson. "I don't want public office. I don't want anything from the party. I only want to serve it." When Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated, Baruch was consulted on the acceptance speech in spite of the deep misgivings of Ray Malloy. Goes on and on. Tells you a little bit about the background here. Old Bernie wouldn't give us a nickel when we really needed it, but Baruch doesn't want anything, expostulated Senator Key Pittman. "And he isn't going to get anything," said Howe firmly. Well, he got a lot. He got a lot later. Whole bunch to know about Bernard Baruch. Thomas Jefferson stood for opposing principles, special privileges for none, equal opportunities for all. It was a rule to protect the weak from the aggression of the strong, but weakness wants something more. It wants something to lean on. This is a speech given by Baruch. At John Hopkins, "Today, there is hardly a class which seems willing to stand on its own feet. Banks and railroads, no less than farmers and workers, turn in their distress to Pennsylvania Avenue and almost never to Main Street. Everybody leans on government, blind to the fact that government by its very nature leans against everybody." Well, there's lots more. Didn't quite get to the part that I wanted, but we got enough. Hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. Sorry to the caller. Call in earlier next time. Until tomorrow, good day.
One county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today.
The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Hey folks, this is Charles Giuliani from the Truth Hurts Show. Are you looking for that perfect gift to give someone that will open their eyes to the truth about 9/11 as being an inside job or about the ongoing conspiracy for world government? Then let me recommend to you my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11 and The New World Disorder. These books are fully documented with the most authoritative and irrefutable sources that make it impossible to deny the reality that our leaders are a bunch of corrupt tyrant wannabes who want to rule the world with an iron fist. The 9/11 book covers all the details of 9/11, proving, again, that it was an inside job, including a history of state-sponsored terrorism. In the New World Disorder book, you'll find everything covered, from how the elites hijacked our banking system, our media, academia, and even organized religion. The assassinations of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, you name it. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Charles Giuliani. That's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you'll see all of my available titles. So again, just go to Amazon.com and check them out today.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.